I'm feeling good. I'm sounding good. The podcast ain't gonna record itself. Let's get the road on the show. Let's make like a baby and head out. Well, after it's had its head permeated by a giant needle attached to a vacuum cleaner and sucked its brains out and collapsed its skull so that the baby can be scraped out of the vajayjay so the woman can go out there and ride some more alpha cock. But anyhow, we're gonna get this show going. Good morning, children. It's not morning. It might be morning for you when you're listening to this. It's not morning for me. It's actually 14:30 hours. The great one got off work early today. It is glorious. It's absolutely glorious. You'll hear that story in a minute. But first, I'm going to have a drink of coffee. We're going to listen to some groovy tunes from David Gilmour, a fucking leftist. And then I'm going to do the intro. You can scream and shout with all your might. Hey, you could scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space. This ain't it. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way Biden's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong and I am right. It's both of them. It's just like, you're welcome and go fuck yourself. It's not one. It's not the other. It's both. Right, coming at you from both ends. Ah, yes. And in case you didn't know it, this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys motherfucking statists all around the world. Does not matter where the statists are. These statists, they could be paragliding in to a rave out in the desert. These statists could be up in the Capitol building. Doesn't matter. A statist could be attending a rave out in the desert. When anarcho-capitalists paraglide in and just wipe them the fuck out. Anything could happen. Anything could happen. It is out of control out there. There's pure anarchy. Something is happening that involves Jews and the attention of the media, and I still don't know what it is because I still haven't even looked at the internet to see any kind of news about whatever's going on with Israel and this group of people that are called something that starts with an H and has a vowel in it, because I don't fucking care. I honest to God don't fucking care. Why does anyone care about Jews? Why? I don't fucking care. You know what I do care about? I care about not being at work. Oh my God. You know, I'm not even physically tired. It's just mentally and emotionally tired. That was 4 long goddamn months. Especially since July and August were supposed to be the busy months. And then June, July, August, September, October. I had to October. I'm looking at the wrong calendar. I already flipped my calendar to November. I'm trying to pretend this doesn't exist. So I'm looking at the calendar. It says November. I'm like, wait, what month is it? July and August were supposed to be busy. September and October were not supposed to be as busy, and they turned out to be as busy, especially the part where we had 9 events in 6 days. So anyhow, it's glorious. It's so glorious. I have 7 days off in a row. 7 fucking days. And now it's 7.5. Right now, it's Monday. Monday before Halloween. A bunch of motherfuckers are in cubicles and shit like that. I'm over here at home, got a cup of coffee, yelling at the internet. I'd be drinking booze and eating dead animal, but it's a fasting day. So I'll make up for that tomorrow, because I got booze, I got dead animal, I even picked up some gummy bears, I'm going to eat some sweets. It's going to be a lovely, lovely, it's Halloween for the great one. That's what I'm going to do for Halloween. I'm going to eat dead animal, drink booze, and yes, you guessed it, play fucking Star Wars. So I got 7, I told them, don't call me, don't text me, don't email me, I need these 7 fucking days. I got 7 days off, and then back into the fray. Not as bad as the last 4 months, but it's going to be bad enough. So one of the guys I work with, one of the more senior people in the company, he just got back from a week vacation with the family, right? And so He rolls back into town a day early, and he swings by the boss's house. And so the boss is like, oh, you're back early. Do you want to work tomorrow? And like a dumbass, he says yes. So he come in to do the stuff we got to do today, to do the gig, and he's there. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be on vacation? Yeah, well, I came back early, and I went by the boss's house. I'm like, why did you do that? You've been doing this just as long as I have. So here's a tip for you youngins out there, and this is the main reason I'm telling this story and not talking about the book Countdown yet, which I will about get to in just a minute. I'm going to tangent, but not as much as I usually do, maybe. I'm telling you this story for a reason. This is for you youngins out there. I learned this years and years ago. Guy, if you're going on, let's say you're going on vacation, or you're taking days, whatever, you're going on vacation, and you're leaving on Monday, and you're coming back on Friday, you tell the people you work for you're leaving on Sunday, and you tell them you're coming back on Saturday. You always pad it by a day on each side. Because first of all, especially coming back, something might go wrong. Your car breaks down. You miss your airplane flight. Who knows? I always, if possible, I pad my return by 2 days, not just one day. So if I was going Monday to Friday, I tell them I'm leaving on Sunday and coming back on Sunday. Always pad it. Get yourself an extra day. And when you come back, don't ever tell the people you work for you're back early. Of course they're going, hey, do you ought to come to work? Never do that. Like, what the fuck were you thinking? So anyway, he's at work. So since he's there, it's like, well, you guys don't really need me, do you? Well, not really. Can I go home? Well, you could. See ya. So I went home early because this dumbass came back from vacation early and let them know he was back. I'm like, great, this is your fucking punishment. You're going to stay here and work. I'm going the fuck home. I'm going to yell at the internet and then play Star Wars. Have a good time, motherfucker. Do not tell your employers you came back from vacation early. Do not do this. Oh, so there you go. That's the great one's practical life lesson for the day. The entire rest of this podcast will just be me yelling about women. But that was the one practical, useful piece of advice you can get from today's podcast. Though, of course, a better idea is just don't get a real job. Be like our friend Aaron Clary. You know, just yell at people on the internet, get money for it, write books. He's working on his latest book. He says it's going to be out pretty soon. I'm looking forward to it. You know, do that. That's even better because Cappy, he can come back from vacation anytime he wants. He doesn't tell anybody. He didn't have to tell anybody. He didn't have to tell himself if he doesn't want to. What's he going to do, fire himself? He's like, I'll show up for work when the fuck I want to. Captain Capitalism. Buy his books at Amazon.com. They're worth it. Especially Enjoying the Decline. What's the Bachelor Pad Economics, of course, which everyone should read. And then, I'm zoning out. The Curse of the High IQ, which I need to find my copy of that and take it with me next time I go to the coffee shop to meet. How's that? I had to go by the post office today to pick up a package I had to sign for, and holy, there is actually this really cute girl in line. Of course, we were on completely dissynchronized sections of the line, and I smelled like a dead animal, and she looked pretty fucking hot. And I, as usual, I see hot chicks when there's not in a position to talk to them. All right, anyway, done with tangenting. Let's get back to this book. Where did I got to find out where I left off. Give me a second. I listened to the previous episode. We were talking about the he was in the water and he didn't know that being in hot water would fucking kill your sperm, because apparently nobody learned anything in 12 years of public education. Let's see, environment. Nobody advised him to stay out of the hot water because that heat was known to be toxic to sperm. Again, I don't know if this person, James, He's a former college athlete. I don't know what his fucking degree is. I don't know how you don't know this shit. All right. After steering clear, they had blah, blah. Women receive lots of information about how to prepare their bodies for making a baby. Why don't men? James asked. Yeah, women, they get so much information about how to prepare their body for making a baby. Now, of course, 45% of them don't know where the vagina is at. But yes, women receive so much information. Women don't receive information. Women look at TikTok. How hard can it be to make a baby? You stand there, the baby gestates. I still have, as James discovered, it's not unusual for men to have no clue there's a problem with their sperm or transport system until they try to make a baby. This happened to Daniel, 40 years old, and his wife, Laura, 35. So we got a fucking 35-year-old woman who thinks she's going to have a baby. Spent a year trying to conceive to no avail. After they both had tests done, Daniel was diagnosed as infertile because his sperm were abnormally shaped. Few had all the component parts. And again, there was a time, this goes back to shit I've talked about before. See, there was a time when all these people, so you have abnormally formed sperm. Now, there's probably a number of things going on here. Probably it has to do something with all the chemicals you're exposed to and the fluoride and the plastics and the 5G and the 12G and all the radiation in the air around us. And it probably has something to do with your diet, which I'm sure is shitty. And you may even be a vegan for all I know. And it probably has something to do with your genetics. And see, there was a time when people whose sperm didn't function correctly, they wouldn't reproduce. And so these genetic defaults would not be passed on. But now, of course, thanks to the fact that doctors, I put air quotes around the word doctor, can make money helping people like, what's his name, Daniel, reproduce. Well, Daniel is now reproducing when Daniel shouldn't be reproducing, because that's what natural selection is. That's how natural selection works. If you can't reproduce, you don't reproduce. Because Daniel's made kids with this 35-year-old woman who are likely going to have the same problem he has or some variation of it. Right? So people with broken DNA shouldn't be reproducing. Oh my God, everybody's got a right to have children apparently. The test done, see, they didn't have other parts. This was at least partially caused by a condition called varicosal, something like that, an enlargement of the veins in the scrotum, which can decrease sperm count and reduce sperm quality. Quote, when the doctor said I would probably never have kids of my own, I was devastated, recalls Daniel, an attorney. Oh God, he's a fucking lawyer. There's one more reason he shouldn't reproduce. Quote, I still have no idea why or how I could have this condition without knowing it, unquote. Once again, how would you know your sperm are not healthy unless you actually go and get them tested? This is not like if you break your arm, it's really obvious. Like listening to these people with penises, because I don't want to call them men, because they're not smart enough to be men. This is like woman logic, right? Well, I can't believe I didn't know my sperm count wasn't very high. Okay, but your sperm count is not obvious in any way whatsoever unless you actually count the sperm. And people don't really do that. So I don't understand why these individuals that I don't want to call men are so surprised by this. I have no idea how I could have this condition without knowing it. Where the fuck would you know it? I know I'm kind of, again, beating a dead horse. Hey, welcome to the Beating a Dead Horse podcast. Hey, by the way, the 19-year anniversary is coming up, November the 1st. I'm not going to do anything special for the podcast because I'm just not. I just need to get caught up on what the fuck I'm supposed to be talking about. So happy anniversary to me, 19 fucking years of podcasting in 48 hours. You know, men, they're so afraid of commitment. Overheard some conversation the other day. This has nothing to do with sperm. Well, maybe it has a little bit to do with sperm. Overheard some conversation the other day behind with some people, and they're talking about, yeah, you know, men play all these video games, and so when women see men playing video games, that's a real red flag for them. And I thought to myself, oh, when women see men playing video games, that's a red flag. These women who see these men playing the video games and see these red flags, are these women fat? Do they have liberal arts degrees? Do they work for nonprofits? How many rescue fur babies do they have? Do they have piercings and tattoos and pink hair? Yeah, men playing video games. There's a real red flag we need to be concerned about. Anyhow, he still has no idea why or how I could have had this condition without knowing it, but he wasn't willing to give up hope. So he underwent a procedure, which cost a lot of money, and my taxes helped pay for via health insurance, to correct the, whatever this condition is called that I can't, varicocele, which improved his semen and sperm quality over the subsequent 6 months. The couple now has four-year-old twins. The people who shouldn't be reproducing are reproducing. Fan-fucking-tastic. No, I don't know if they're white, and even if they are white, they still shouldn't be reproducing. White people should be reproducing, but not the white people who are genetically defective. Hang on, I need to find an ink pen so I can make a note here, so I can keep track of what I'm doing. I know what you're saying. You're saying, great one, you've been yelling at the internet for 19 fucking years. You ain't never kept track of what the fuck you're doing yet. Why would you start now? Well, guys, because I'm a fucking badass. That's why. And because I'm not at work while the guy that's supposed to still be on vacation is at work. I left a word out of that sentence. But see, because I have self-awareness, because I don't have a vagina, I have self-awareness and I realized I left a word out of the sentence. All right. Let me figure out what I'm supposed to be reading on this page. Page 35, my notes say women's. Oh, here we go. All right. When Margaret Atwood's novel, The Handmaiden's Tale, because it's right up, isn't that one like right up there with Hitler? Like if you start having any kind of political conversation, right? How long can you make it until someone talks about Hitler? If you start talking about, how do we want to call it, women's issues or, you know, anything to do with women. Start a conversation with a woman about whatever you call their weird-ass worldview where they think they're being oppressed, right? Which I was thinking today, right? It's like niggers. Like, niggers are still running around pretending that they're oppressed. Now, think about this. You could literally be a registered sex offender who, as a 30-year-old man, had sex with an 8-year-old boy, and you can still get a job. You say the word nigger, and you're unemployable for the rest of your life. And I gotta listen to niggers telling me that they're oppressed. So anytime some woman starts running her little yap-yapper about how oppressed women are, it's kind of like the Hitler test. How soon does it take in the conversation before you have to hear about The Handmaiden's Tale? This is like every woman's fucking wet dream is The Handmaiden's Tale. Now, I've never read it. I didn't see the fucking TV series. If there's a movie made, I haven't seen the fucking movie. All I know is what I know is that women can't shut the fuck up about The Handmaiden's Tale. That's pretty much all I know about it, and that it's written by a woman, which is why I'm not gonna read it, even though reading to you what I'm about to read to you made me think for a second. I said, holy shit, this sounds like paradise. I might read this book. And then I remembered it's written by a woman, and I said, no, actually, as great as the concept sounds, I'm sure this woman fucked it up because she's a woman and women can't write, and so I'm not going to read the fucking book. When Margaret Atwood's novel, The Handmaid's Tale, was first published in 1985, was it really only in 1985? For some reason, I keep thinking, I've heard about it for so fucking long, I feel like it was written back in the 1800s or something. People responded primarily to its disturbing depiction of women living in what might be described as a feminist nightmare. Sounds good already. A world in which women are under strict patriarchal and social control. Sounds great. Forbidden from having jobs or money of their own. Sounds wonderful. And assigned to various classes, from chaste, childless wives to housekeepers to reproductive handmaids whose purpose is to become impregnated by the men whose homes they inhabit so they can then hand over the babies to the men's, quote, morally fit, unquote, wives. Other than the concept of any woman at all, much less your wife, being morally fit, because there's no such thing as a morally fit woman, because all women are selfish totalitarians. Other than that, this sounds wonderful. Doesn't that sound great? A society in which women are under strict patriarchal and social control, forbidden from having jobs and money of their own, and assigned to a class? The way I don't know how they break it down in the book, I don't know how it's broken down in the book. The way I would do it is the women who are allowed to reproduce would be the ones who are attractive. Because that's how you would get, again, for those of you who are not clear about how this whole natural selection thing works and why we shouldn't let men who have unhealthy sperm reproduce, the way you get attractive women is by breeding attractive women. Right, you don't get attractive daughters from ugly mothers. So in my world, all of that would be true, and it would be the most attractive women are the ones that would be breeding, and all the unattractive women would be sterilized. There would be no estrogen being dumped into the fucking water supply because of all the birth control pills and turning the frogs gay, because there would be no birth control pills, because there would be no need for it. If you are not attractive, you would have your tubes tied. When you hit 30, you would have your tubes tied. 29 and younger, attractive, would be the only ones allowed to reproduce. And they would not be allowed to have jobs, and they would not have money of their own. And yeah, they would be controlled. At the time, no one thought the portrayal of catastrophic declines in birth rates could be linked to toxic chemical... Wait, hold on. Let me start this sentence again. All right. At the time, no one thought the portrayal of catastrophic declines in birth rates could be linked to toxic chemicals in the air and water. Somehow that seemed like dramatic license on the author's part. But now the novel and the series it engendered seem disturbingly prophetic. Why can I not say that word? Prophetic. Prophesizing. You know the word I'm trying to say. I don't know why I can't wrap my fucking mouth around that. Now, if I had a chick here, she could wrap her mouth. Never mind. Along with the precipitous drop that has occurred in sperm counts and fertility... holy fuck. Apparently, I'm not going to podcast today. And part of it is I'm trying to read a book written by a woman. And she can't just use normal words. Along with the drop that has occurred in sperm counts, I'm going to edit. I'm just going to start editing and start trying to read what she actually writes. Along with the drop that has occurred in sperm counts and fertility rates in Western countries, the rate of gestational surrogacy. The rate of women having children for women who can't get pregnant has been steadily increasing, about 1% a year between 1999 and 2013. This trend reflects a downturn in fertility. Right, because these women should not be reproducing. And they're fat, and they're unhealthy. Imagine that. Fat, unhealthy women can't have babies. While the dramatic decline in sperm counts is an important factor, the fertility slump has been seen in many parts of the world. Changes women's reproductive functions are also occurring and have links to the same lifestyle and environmental culprits that are affecting men's reproductive status. No shit, Sherlock. Before I get to those, also, here's another thing. Once again, here's one more reason women should not write books. There's so many reasons. Here's another one. This book has all these footnotes in it. And we'll get to one in a second. As I have said before, a book should not have footnotes. I'm reading a book. Okay? I come along, there's a footnote. So my eyes are on the page. I'm following the sentences. Then there's a little asterisk to tell me there's a footnote. I now have to distract myself from where I am. I have to look down the page, find the footnote. The footnote is always in smaller text. I now have to squint and read the fucking footnote. Then I have to go back up, find where I was, and resume reading. If the information in the footnote is important enough to include, it should be included in the fucking text of the book, on the page, with everything else. If it's not important enough to put up there on the page, don't fucking put it in the book. Or if it's not important enough to be put in the book at that point, put it. Footnotes are bullshit. They're stupid. They're fucking stupid. You can tell this is a woman thing. This is an experiment I'd like to do. I wonder. I could almost do it. You know what? Hold on. Just everybody, just fucking hold on. I make a note to myself. I need to start when I get these books from the library. Oh, but I don't read that many books by women. I was going to say I should keep track when I'm reading a book. Does it have footnotes or not? And is it written by a man or a woman? Because I am willing to bet money that women use footnotes more than men. All right, I'm going to figure out some way to test this. I'm writing a note down right now. Footnotes, men versus Bents. Who uses more? I suspect women do footnotes way more than men do. Now, if you go read Pushing Rubber Downhill, you know how many footnotes are in that book? Zero. Hold on, since we're talking about this. Hold on. I want to look. I'm flipping through the pages. We're not even going to check an old Aaron Cleary book because we know he's gay. He's got like a footnote on every fucking page. Hold on, I'm flipping through the pages. Flipping. Zero. Even Rollo Tomasi in The Rational Male. I just flipped through the entire book. I did not see a single fucking footnote. This woman has a footnote on page 36, a footnote on page 37, a footnote on page 39, a footnote on page 40, a footnote on page 42. I'm not making this up. A footnote on page 46, a footnote on page 50, a footnote on page 52. Women should not write books. They don't fucking know how. They're fucking retarded. Shut your fucking mouth and make babies. And most of you can't even fucking make the babies. None of you can shut your mouth, but most of you can't even make babies anymore. I'm still here. Give me a second. Getting a drink of water. God, don't be so demanding. Like having a girlfriend with none of the benefits. All right, here we go. Let me read this paragraph. I'm going to break my groove and go read this footnote. Here's some facts to illustrate big picture. Worldwide fertility. Once again, see, I knew this was happening, but listen to these numbers. Worldwide fertility. Hold on. By the way, there's a picture of her in the back. She is not attractive. You do not want to have sex with her, trust me. Okay, so she does have a bibliography and everything in the back, but she doesn't, like, actually, of course, she's going to throw a bunch of data at us right now, but she doesn't provide actual references for each specific piece of data as to where it came from. That's another reason women shouldn't write books. So when you say worldwide fertility dropped by 50% between 1960 and 2015. Okay, I mean, I don't have a reason to particularly think you're making that up. I believe that. But at this point, there should be a little fucking number one up there. And I look at the bottom of page because this makes this I'll do. Number one, look down at the bottom. Number one, source. And you should tell me where this came from. So she's more than happy to put text down at the bottom of the page in a smaller font to fucking just continue her rambling, but she won't put text down at the bottom of the page in a smaller font so as to tell me specifically where she has gotten specific numbers and statistics that she's presenting. This is because women should not be writing books. And this is because women cannot be scientists. A scientist, an actual scientist, knows if you make an assertion, it's this thing dropped by 50%. Here's my data. Where is it dropped by 50%? Where's your data? Well, but it dropped by 50%. Okay, that's an opinion, right? An opinion not followed by data is an opinion. An opinion followed by data is at least supportable or non-supportable. It could be supported or it could be disproven. It could be evaluated. Would you just tell me some shit with no fucking reference to where... Anyway, yeah, I think... Well, let's beat some more dead horse. Worldwide fertility dropped by 50% between 1960 and 2015. And in some countries, citation needed, the decline has been even steeper. How much steeper? These are the things we'd like to know. Did I mention that women cannot be scientists and should not write books? For example, a great one, here's an example. Yes, an example means one case out of how many. I don't want to know an example. I want to know all of them. I want to see the data. Where'd you get the data from? Where can I go look at the data? I want to see a chart of country, all the countries listed. I want to see the data. Where is it? For example, between 1901 and 2014, the total fertility rate in Denmark dropped from 4.1 children per woman, as opposed to per what? I mean, that's where all kids come from, to 1.8 children per woman. At first glance, it's easy to attribute the decline to social trends, such as women choosing to have their first pregnancy at older ages and couples' desires for smaller families. Those things undoubtedly contribute to the shift, but it's not that simple because fertility declined at all ages during this same time period. And surprisingly, the decline in the ability to conceive a pregnancy and carry it to term, what's called impaired fiducity, was actually more dramatic in younger women. Now, let me restate this, because this may not have been clear when I was reading it, because I'm a retard, okay? The decline in the ability to conceive and carry the child to term, for the child to be born, okay? The ability to conceive and give birth to the child, the decline was more pronounced in younger women. We now jump down to the footnote. When a colleague and I looked at the change in impaired fiduciary by women's ages from 1982 to 1995, we were surprised to see that those between the ages of 14 and 24, the youngest women, had experienced a 42% increase in impaired fiduciary, while women 35 to 44 experienced only a 6% increase. This suggests that something besides aging and delayed childbearing is affecting fiduciary, or however you say that word. So, 14 to 24 years old, their ability to get pregnant and have a kid has dropped by 42%. 35 to 44, their ability to get pregnant and drop the kid has only dropped by 6%. Something very fucked up is going on here. I'm not telling you what it is. I'm telling you what it is. Is it the cell phones? Is it the 5G? Is it the chemicals? Is it the diet? Is it the Wuhan vax? Is it all of the above? It's all of the above to some degree. But, I mean, dude, 42% drop in women 14 to 24 in the ability to get pregnant and give birth. Like, something is seriously fucked up. And everybody's just walking. And what are our biggest fucking concerns? We've got to get a nigger on the moon, and we're worried about the fucking Jews. This is what we're concerned about. Darkies on the moon and the Juden. And here's the real shocker. In the first decade of the 20th century, women over age 30 in Denmark had higher fertility rates than women under 30 had between 1949 and 2014. Looked at another way, the average 20-something Danish woman today is less fertile than her grandmother was at 35. So while we think of younger women as being more fertile, the fact in the data she's found, at least in Denmark, the younger women are actually less fertile than the old ones. This is not fine. This is not good. This is not normal. There's something fucking going on. And I don't know. I haven't read any farther into the book. I'm still only on page 75. So maybe she's got some theories on what's going on here. I don't know yet. I'll find out. I'll let you know. Believe you me, I'm going to keep reading that. Even though it's written by a woman, I mean, this is a fascinating topic. Let's see. Do I need to read any more about this? The picture is almost as bleak in the United States, with total births per woman dropping more than 50% between 1960 and 2016. It isn't clear how much of this baby scarcity stems from economic, educational, sociological, or environmental factors, but this much is undeniable. In 2017, the total birth rate for women in the United States was 16% below what is considered necessary for our population to replace itself over time. And of course, she's not breaking it down by race. So this is colored people and Asians and Spanish and white people and Jews and American Indians. This is everyone 16% below. The That's obviously cause for concern. This was true in 2017, and it's still true in the time of Wuhan. Because Wuhan, because we got to get Wuhan in the book, right? She's got global warming in. She gets sexism in. She gets the Handmaid's Tale. Now we got to talk about Wuhan. We got to do all our virtue signaling. Indeed, I'm skipping forward a little bit. Indeed, there's compelling evidence that diminishing ovarian reserve, a condition in which the number and quality of a woman's eggs is lower than expected for her biological age, is occurring more frequently than in the previous generations, and that the risk of miscarriage has been rising among women of all ages. Yep. I mean, I've heard this talked about before. Just like I've also told you guys that more and more children are being born by C-section because women can't get the kids out through their fucking birth canal. Again, if you can't get the kid out your birth canal, that's an indicator you shouldn't be reproducing. Those women would have died in childbirth. But now we pull the child out through the stomach, and then the child reproduces, and you get more kids that can't go through the fucking birth canal. And everybody, and we all want to act like helping all of these people reproduce is compassion. This is why women need to shut the fuck up and be slaves. It's not compassion. It's destroying the fucking genetics of the species. There's nothing compassionate about destroying the genetics of the species so that the people who are going to be born in the future are physically and emotionally and genetically and intellectually weaker. That is not compassion. But women don't fucking understand what compassion is, because to women, compassion is just whatever makes them happy at the particular moment. Because women have no fucking conception of the future. They have no conception of consequences. I was reading ahead to see if I want to keep going. While the recent increase in reproductive challenges among women may not be quite as dramatic as those in men, we may not be getting the full story of what's going on. For one thing, there are more studies on men's reproductive functionality, partly because, well is in italics, partly because, well, more medical studies are conducted on men, period. That's what it said, period. Sweetheart, can you control your fucking feminism? This is because men are willing to subject themselves to medical studies and women aren't, because men are not as selfish as women are. Yes, there's a gender gap when it comes to medical research, as well as in pay equity, employment opportunities, dry cleaning fees, and other elements in our modern world. This is why women cannot be scientists. She can't present where she got the data about declining fertility rates so I can go look at the raw data myself, but she can take an entire fucking sentence that takes up three lines in the book to complain about the gender gap. As far as research on reproductive health goes, there may be an element of practicality at work here. Men's genitals are on full display, and a sperm sample can be obtained from an ejaculation that's provided by a man without too much trouble. With women, by contrast, I thought men and women were the same. No fluid offering can reveal her reproductive potential or limitations. Yes, exactly. You can't tell. You can find out what a man's sperm is like, quality and quantity, by having him spank the monkey onto a fucking slide and sticking it under a microscope. You can't do that for women. This is not because of the patriarchy and the handmaiden's tale. It's because there are biological differences between men and women, something we live in a society right now that's trying to pretend isn't true. In women, the inner workings of reproductive capacity are more complicated and are hidden from view. Now, she needed to put this sentence in to explain that a woman's reproductive system is not visible because 45% of women don't even know where the vagina is. If you asked a woman, where is your oval? If you asked a woman, where are your eggs stored at? If you say to a man, where's your sperm at? You go in my ball sack, unless it's in your mom's mouth, right? You ask a woman, where are your eggs? She would say, I think they're in the refrigerator, unless I forgot to put them back. 45% of women don't know where the vagina is. How many of them know that the eggs are stored in the ovary? So, because women are going to read this book, you have to tell the women that their reproductive system is more complicated than a man's and is hidden from view. Women don't know that they can't see their own reproductive system. You have to tell them this. And that's why they should major in STEM. For example, there's no easy way to count the number of eggs a woman has in reserve. No, there isn't. And once again, the fact that we live in a world where you have to tell people this shows us how pathetic the public education system is. And even if she has plenty of eggs remaining and she ovulates regularly, a woman has no way of knowing if her fallopian tubes are blocked. I would hazard to guess most women don't know they have fallopian tubes. If her uterus is hospitable to a fertilized egg, well, I mean, it would be if you didn't stick a fucking vacuum cleaner up there so often. I mean, I'm sure that the multiple times you've sucked the fucking fetus out of your uterus, I'm sure that makes for a very healthy uterus. Or if the right hormones will be released in the right amounts at the right times to provide safe haven for the embryo. I mean, especially when she's taking hormone blockers. She's eating food laden with hormones. She's been taking birth control pills for how many years, dumping estrogen into her body? Do you really have to explain to women that all this shit can go wrong? You do, because they're dumb. So, gauging a seemingly healthy woman's baby-making prospects is a trickier proposition than gauging a man's. Yes, it is. That's fucking painful. Oh, God. Wait, do I need to read this? Oh, God, I do. All right, we're getting near the end of this episode. Okay, page 38. The chapter title is Don't Know Much About Biology, which tells you we're going to be talking about women. Despite the fact that the female body is the baby's first home, many women know less than one might expect about the ins and outs of reproductive health. No, they don't know less than I would expect. I know that 45% of them don't know where the vagina is. This isn't just an educational problem. Yes, it is, because the education system is run by women. It has real practical implications for reproductive success. Study after study has found that fertility awareness among women is shockingly low. Shockingly low, guys. Hey, guys, would you guys believe that women don't know anything about their own biology? I bet you're shocked to hear this. On average, women answered correctly 50% of questions about the causes and prevalence of infertility. Medical students fare only slightly better, typically earning a D instead of an F. In one study involving 1,000 women between the ages of 18 and 40 in the United States, 40% of participants expressed concerns about their ability to conceive. But one-third of women were unaware of the adverse effects that sexually transmitted infections, obesity, or irregular periods could have on their ability to procreate. 30% of women did not know that having an STD and being fat could affect your ability to get pregnant. Yes, please, we've got to get them to major in STEM. This is why I will not go to female. Even more startling, as if that was not evidence enough that women are stupid and should be property instead of owning property, 40% of women were unfamiliar with the ovulatory phase of their menstrual cycles, which is the only time fertilization can occur. This is not a surprise to us. Women do not even understand how they get pregnant. They don't understand their own fucking reproductive cycle. Given the confusion about ovulation, here's a brief refresher. Ovulation occurs around day 14 and 28-day menstrual cycle. The causes the ovaries to release the mature egg, blah, blah, blah. More stuff in parentheses. Again, learn how to write to identify, blah, blah, blah. As the egg is released, it travels down the closest fallopian tube towards the uterus, blah, blah, blah. You guys know that once it's fertilized, it travels to the uterus. Everything goes right. Implantation will occur in the lining of the uterus. If it doesn't, the unfertilized egg passes out of the woman's body during her period. Those are the basic facts, and they haven't changed. But the decades have seen a baffling shifts in female reproductive development, health, and fertility. Yeah, because they're dumb. Because they're just fucking dumb. The music's playing. I'm going to go play Star Wars. And I'm going to post this fucking video. And you got a video. It's a fucking podcast. God, I can't talk today.